Right, big man, thanks very much for doing this. See, you've got a bit of shockwaves in the bandit and that. Starting out, mate, back at Motherwell, growing up, we've asked everyone that's came on, what was football like for you growing up as a kid, playing all the time?
Yes, playing all the time with my two big brothers, playing out in the streets, just jumpers doing.
Never seen that now, do you?
No, you don't, and kids need to pay to play football now, don't they? So it's no really, it's, if anything, it's gone backwards. I think the council's got to take a wee bit of responsibility, haven't they? But anywhere, whether it be grass, ash, whatever, we were always playing football, me and my pals, and it'd be about 19 a side, or World Cup or something like that. So it was all always football orientated.
At what age could you start to tell that you were better than the other boys?
Still couldn't tell you. I think primary five, my dad took the primary school team. And I was playing primary seven, so I was the only one coming out of my class at primary five to go and play with the primary seven school team. So that's when everybody started really talking about me being good at football. But I didn't actually realise I was just going to be to play and enjoy it. And then I think when you're people talking about getting scouted and stuff, when you're your boys' club, Wishaw Boys Club I played with, and Jefferson Boys Club. People saying that their scouts coming to watch you and stuff. And you're like, they're not coming to watch me, they'll not be watching me. And you just go out and you're playing your stuff and you end up getting picked up with that. So I think that's when the penny drops. You think, well, maybe I'm half decent anyway.
And then so obviously Motherwell did pick you up?
Yes, done my work experience at Motherwell under Tam Forsyth, Tommy McLean. That was a right eye-opener under they two.
Tough on you?
Aye, very. I think the days have changed now where you can't even raise your voice to the kids, where we were getting battered, actually battered for no doing your jobs right, for no cleaning the baths or taking the chewing gum out the urinals and stuff like that, and cleaning the first team boys' boots. It was a doing you got.
See how you were a manager. Did you hate that the kids didn't do jobs and stuff like that?
Did you try?
Can you get that back in there?
I was trying my hardest to get them cleaning the stands, to painting walls and everything. But the club, to be fair, the club would get painters in, and I was trying to get them back to old school mentality thinking, but. It takes time, and I didn't really get that.
Do you think that helped in your career, that upbringing you had?
That grounding, because I heard it from my dad as well. My dad was very, very strict with me in every aspect of life that I'd done. There was very few positives. It was all really negatives, and it made me a wee bit more determined to go and
do well
in life, aye, definitely.
Do you think they've got it too easy now, huh?
I think they've got it far too easy at the bigger clubs, where they're getting too much money, they're living a false world. They're coming in with their soap bags, looking like the players, they're on their social media, everything like that, and it's not a real world. And if they don't make it, then it's setting them back even further than the normal person. So I think there's got to be a happy medium.
And at Motherwell, well, how was that conversation when you told you were getting put out to Cumbernauld United on loan?
That was Big Eck, was the manager then. He says, I think it was 3 years, get put out to Cumbernauld United to toughen us up, and it certainly did. I was trying to get a couple of the young boys out to the teams in Ayrshire, because that's what I went through. But the time that I broke my ankle, a ridiculous tackle on me, and I broke my ankle, and my mum, straight on the phone to Big Eck, what you doing sending my boy juniors? I was like, oh, here we go. And he's actually saying sorry. I'm sorry. Any time I see him, he still has a laugh about it.
Brilliant. One of your boot boys at Motherwell was Faddy, wasn't it?
Yes,
was your boot boy.
He was. Lovely guy, still really close with him. Still speak to him at least once or twice a week. What a tremendous football player he was. But as a boot boy, he wasn't the best. And I remember the Christmas, I gave him £30 to say thanks for doing my boots, and he just wasn't having it.
No.
He actually went to give me it back. He's like, nah, I want more than that. And go to begin me more than that. So that's just, I think that's a spring burn on him.
Brilliant, eh? So back at Motherwell after your loan, how did it How did it come about? Were you, going to play for the first team? Were you doing well in training? What was it?
I think I was doing well in the reserves, training with the first team, and I think it was Europa League, I think it was, that I made my debut. My per 47, I hit the post in the last couple of minutes, and that's when the first time I'd ever been in the papers or anything like that, and that was quite a big thing for the family and myself, and then I just sort of, Big Alec was putting me on the last 10, 20 minutes of games, and I managed to get a couple of goals and then just sort of kicked on for there.
How was Big Alec for you as a manager?
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Always sort of looked after me, but I think that was because my mum phoned him and gave him dogs abuse. I was the one that would always put his arm around. He took me off apprentice about a year and a quarter into my 2 year apprenticeship, made me pro. And had a meeting in front of all the boys and saying, this is sort of the example that you've got to get to. So he made me feel brilliant, made me feel like a football player and done loads for my career. And someday I'm still in touch with him again.
Could you tell even back then that he'd going to be a top manager?
Ah, he was good. He was good. He was into everybody's skin. He was getting about the dressing room. And he was a winner. And his presence as well, something that I noticed, the way he stood and looked at you, and I remember making my debut a couple of times under him, or coming on a couple of times under him. He was always there sitting next to me, telling me jokes and trying to get me to relax and stuff. So it's all the man management stuff, isn't it? And he worked wonders for my career.
What about the older players at that time? How were they with you when you first broke through?
Aye, very good. I was Billy Davis, Paul Lambert, Jamie Dolan. All these players, that was the players that I cleaned about, Brian Martin. It's just old school dressing room mentality now. Sometimes at half time you're coming in, you've got two experienced players rolling about the ground fighting. Uh-huh. And that's the difference to FIBA now. It's, I come in and players will hardly speak to each other or say into each other that's negative. Whereas as a 17-year-old you're coming in, you've got two grown men rolling about the dressing room floor fighting because they wouldn't pass the ball to each other. I think that's missing a wee bit in the game, though, the fighting part, but the passion. But they were all great with me. Billy Davis, Paul Lambert, as I said, really took me under their wing.
And were they tough on you as well?
They weren't so much tough on me, just a wee bit of banter now and again, and helping me get better, talking to me about how I could get better and stuff like that. So, that was great.
Did you take to that environment straight away? Did you like that?
I loved that, because I grew up with that, to be honest with you, in the streets. So, I could relate.
Did you
could
get
probably
back as well?
relate to that. I was never one of the ones rolling about the flair, but I was always ready to jump in.
So, eventually you become a first team regular. How did that feel? Did you feel like you'd hit the big time?
No, I felt as if I'd so much to prove. I was a local boy playing there, grew up Motherwell. So my first full season I'd been given the number 9 jersey striker. Jim Griffin came to me and says, you're going to be number 9, you need to believe in yourself for the rest of it. And I started half the season really well. But I would never ever have said, oh, that's me made it, even to the week I retired. Never ever said, I think you've always got to have a point to prove every week. And that's the mentality I've always had.
I asked Faddy the same thing. When you're doing well for Motherwell, is it in the back of your mind to try and get a move to a bigger club?
I think it's got to be, aye. I went to the 91 Cup final. I went to loads of Motherwell games when I was a youngster. Because I stayed right next to the stadium. But I think you've got to try and better yourself and better your career. So there was a few clubs that were showing interest, but I was trying to know, let it sidetrack me. I think if I remember one time Celtic were interested and nothing really came of that. It was just kicking on, and then all of a sudden it was Wigan that come in for us and bid for us.
And did you fancy Wigan straight away?
Fancied Wigan straight away. The agent phoned me, and Mr. Whelan picked us up at Cumbernauld Airport in a helicopter, took us down around the stadium. I done a tour of the stadium, fell up above and then dropped us off at his headquarters, and it was 25,000 all-seater stadium in the old second division. So it was something that I had to jump at the chance to, and that started off another great journey in my career.
So any second thoughts about going down and leaving Motherwell now?
No, but they accepted the bid as well, and I think they get about £750,000 for us. So I think coming through the ranks, and so that's probably, they've benefited for that, and probably I have as well.
It was a bit of a strange start at the club for you. I think it was three managers in quick succession, was it?
Three managers right away.
Was that down to you?
Probably down to me, I think, the manager. Isn't that funny? The manager get the sack.
Is it Bruce Ryuk?
Bruce Ryuk get the sack the night I signed. So I don't know what was going on there then. I think Colin Greenall took over as interim. And then it was Steve Bruce, is that right?
My twin.
Steve Bruce took over for the remainder of the season. So it was a hard start. It was me first time I'd moved away from the parents' house, so it was independent lifestyle. So it was something that took me a good while to get used to be honest.
Did you go down there on your own, huh?
I went down there on my own, and it was difficult in the hotel, difficult finding my way through. Everything. It was a new experience for me. So I took time to settle.
Paul Dalglish played there. Did he help you settle in?
He did. He was still close to Paul today. I think when I first moved in, as I say, it was all over the place. Paul is the closest thing you'll find to Jimmy Bullard. At that time.
Is he mad, is he? Huh?
No, he's crazy as well. And Paul came to stay with me when I just bought my first house. Paul would come in and stay with me, and at Christmas, invited me over. His dad phoned me to invite me over for Christmas dinner. So I had to sit with Paul, his mum and dad, Paul's sisters, and the spread was unbelievable. It was just everything on the biggest table. Biggest dining room table I'd ever seen, and it was just full of food. And I just remember sitting, just looking at Kenny Dalglish for 15 minutes, just staring, looking, no talking, no saying a word. I was just, a wee bit starstruck, just sitting, staring at him, and Paul slapping me in the back of the head for something to come out of my mouth, but nothing would come out. I think I mentioned to him, I'd read a bit of his book at the time, and I remember stuttering to him about something about his book, and he's just looking at me as if, what if I broke into my house here? And since then we'd spoke about that time. I was, even his sisters were like looking at me as if, who is this guy? any chance of just speaking? I was so shy and taken aback, but the family really looked after me, and after that we went down, and Paul was always one for come on round to my dad's house, bring your tennis racket, we've got to get my tennis, cause you bring your towel and your trunks, he's got a pool, bring your gym stuff because he's got a gym, and then we'll go down to his nightclub and stuff like that. So the sort of part of it he had, and he's got a speed camera in the driveway, all these sort of things that Paul would hit out with. So that was a tremendous time and something that helped me settle in at Wigan.
Was Kenny a top man, huh?
Oh, he was brilliant. Telling his stories and sharing his knowledge. And he would be on the phone now and again just to see how I was, how I was playing, how I was thinking. And just there with Kilmarnock, we went to La Manga, and he came and watched us play a closed-door friendly. Then after it, he came over to me and says, right, we're coming, we're going back to Mabbitt, we're going to have a couple of beers. So we sat on his sofa out his back in La Manga and watching Sky Sports News, having a couple of beers with him. So it was these surreal moments that when somebody his stature takes his time out to come and speak to you, give you his knowledge, and is what he was saying is any time you need any advice on playing, managing, any time, don't phone Paul, phone me. that was his line, so it was that was great.
Brilliant. You said the old second division, how did you find the difference between the league up here and down there?
Not much, to be honest. No. Probably a wee bit more direct, but I think that suited me at the time. But not much of a difference. Some good players and some good teams down there, some big clubs. But we managed to, I think it was the second season, we managed to win that division. And then that was a sort of start on when Paul Jewell came in.
Was it a good set of boys doing it, Wigan?
Aye, very good. There was a core there that when Paul Jewell came in, he got ready right away. And I wasn't one of them, obviously. But
who were they?
There was about six or seven of them that Paul Jewell sort of identified and got ready right away, get his new players in. And there was a different feel about the place right away for that time. And it was all sort of a success story after that.
See, back in the days, was it play on a Saturday and then would everyone go out on a Saturday night?
Everybody out on a Saturday night, aye. And if you won, it was all day Sunday as well. and sometimes Tuesday, because you'd be off on the Wednesday. So, but that's the team spirit was great. But I think people say nights out create team spirit. I think winning games create team spirit. But if you're winning games and going out, then...
See, as a manager, would you be bothered if boys were going out?
No, if you're winning games, no. No, definitely no. But if you're getting beat and you're going out... That's one thing we didn't do, is when we get beat, we didn't tend to go out as much. It wasn't three nights, it was just two.
obviously, the main character in that team was the Bulldog, Jimmy Bullard. How is he as mad as everyone thinks?
Yes. Or was, yes. Since then, he's been in Celebrity Jungle and got himself about. Jimmy was my roommate for a long spell. Yes, just crazy. The craziest guy I've
met. What sort of stuff did he do?
Oh, I can't really share much with you, to be honest. We used to room together, and then I think it was a Carling Cup final down in Wales, and I rooming with him, so it was right, we need to get an early night, we've got a big day tomorrow. And in the morning, I woke up at 7 in the morning. And he's cuddled into the back of me and he's kissing on my back and kissing on the back of my neck. I said, what are you doing? He's going, come on, big man, nobody will know, don't tell anybody. So he's going to my bed, he's like, all right, no problem. So just wee things like that. I know that he was insinuating in, it was just for banter, so I'd go and tell all the rest of the boys. So that's the sort of a mark of the man he was. It was just all for a laugh.
Was every day the same? How was he like that every day?
Every minute of every day, uh-huh. He was the same, just non-stop. And I think he doesn't get enough recognition for how good a player he was because of all the daftness.
Stuff he does,
uh-huh. Great player, so fit, and obviously score goals, free kicks, set plays, everything about him. And the mental strength was ridiculous about how he believed in himself and in the... Playing Chelsea away, Man United away, we're lining up next to your superstars, your world footman. He's just on and staring at them up and down as if, what you got for me? What you got for me today, big man? Stuff like that. It's just and it relaxed all us. It relaxed us as a team. So I think that's how we done so well.
And Paul Jewell got his promoted.
Paul Jewell took us for the second right to the Premiership and kept us up. So great influence in my career.
What was he good at?
Getting angry.
Was he?
Being very angry. But he was also good at putting his arm around you and giving you the emotional or verbal cuddle, whatever you want to call it. But at times when I lost it, it was certainly duck for cover. He was angry scouser, is what he's known. But still somebody that phones me to this day and keeps in touch with me. So loads and loads of respect for him.
See, when you first went down there in the old second division, did you ever think you would get up to the Premier League?
Not at that time, no. I think it's just climbing the leagues at a time. And you get into the Championship, and that's unforgiving, that league. And we got promoted in the last day. Sunderland won it that year. We to win in the last day of the season against Reading. I think we beat them 3-1. I managed to get the first goal for that. In that game, and that what an occasion that was, going up to the Premiership and coming at a very difficult Championship.
And how was the Premier League? Is it tough?
Obviously, very tough. But at the time, I didn't think it was as bad as what people were, or as good as what people were making it. I think the especially the bigger teams let you play, And then when you get into the final third, that's where they basically just take it off you and counter attack. And when they've got the ball, you're sitting away. And it wasn't as pace and power, I think, is the biggest thing that I learned for my time in the Premiership, which I didn't have.
Who was the best that he's played in there?
Played against. Uh-huh. That Carling Cup final, Rooney and Ronaldo played. And there was a time in that final, Ronaldo's took a touch in one byline and he's kept it up to nearly the other byline, keeping the ball. That was phenomenal, his physique, his pace, his tricks, confidence, freedom, everything he had. He just had a lot. And that's when Rooney was just breaking on the scene as well. So probably they two players.
So obviously you've done great at Wigan. How did the Rangers move come about?
Over a Christmas period, I think Rangers put a bid in for me and Wigan knocked it back. I ended up putting a transfer request in. Paul Jewell fell out with me. It was all up in the air, so I had to play for the rest of the season at Wigan and my head was all over the place. Like I didn't have one good game in all that time. And then in the summer, the bid got accepted and made my way up to Rangers. So it was about 6 months emotions going through my head of what is it going to happen, is it not going to happen, but the day I signed, I'll never ever forget that day.
Obviously you grew up as a Rangers supporter. When you heard of that bid, were you just desperate to get the move done? Uh-huh.
Desperate to get the move done. Uh-huh. As transfer requests, try to follow out with managers, and I remember saying to Paul Jewell had left in the summer, so it was Chris Hutchins that took it, so I was trying to disrupt training. I was trying to say to him, just let me go, and he's saying, oh, I can't, the board are wanting more money for you, and I say, I'm not playing for you, and it was something that I actually regret now, because mm-hmm. Wigan had been so good to me, and I wasn't really doing it against the club, it was all to go and have my boyhood dream move, and eventually it went through, and I thanked everybody at Wigan, and Chris Hutchins, and the board at the time, so I've still got a great affinity with Wigan.
And as you say, you'll never forget the day you signed with Rangers. How did your family and that feel with the delight that you went to your club?
My dad especially. My dad's been the biggest influence in me, being a Rangers fan and making my way probably through football. He was, I brought a tear to his eye, and that was something to see. So I brought him back. Wee Jimmy Bell gave me a Rangers top right after I'd signed and come back with Dad on it, and he still wears that to this day.
The club excelled in Europe your first season. You scored in a 3-0 victory away at Lyon. Was that kind of the turning point for you at Rangers?
Aye, probably, because I felt it was quite a lot of money Rangers paid for me. I think it was 2.25 million, which for I think it was 28 at the time. That's a lot of money. Uh-huh. But I suppose if you're coming for the Premiership, then that's what Wigan's point was. That's what I'd be valued at. But I thought it was too much money, and that was playing sort of mind games with me. And if the fans' perception is we've paid all this money, we probably expect more. So getting that goal on that stage and getting that result and the performance that night was brilliant. So that started to build a bit of confidence.
You see, obviously, because it is your boyhood club, is it hard to go there? Is it hard to go? You're delighted with the move, but then once you get there, it's...
Aye, the pressure hits, the expectation levels hit. And being a supporter, and me knowing me, I put more pressure on myself than anybody else. So at times it gets hard. You get a bit of stick, your family gets a bit of stick. Nephews get a bit of stick at their school, mm-hmm. all that stuff. But it's all this stuff you've got to cope with and be determined and single-minded to get to know you're going to come through at the other end of it, and that's what I did there.
Is that the hard part of being a Rangers player? Not just the football, it's going for Wigan where you're left alone a bit, but to Rangers you're under the microscope every second.
Aye, definitely. Going out in Glasgow during the day, shopping, whatever. You're with your kids, you're getting heckled for anybody and everybody. So that was pretty, at times it's tough to take for the kids, but it's part and parcel.
And then obviously the highs are so high when you score that goal against Lyon. You forget all that. And
oh, of course you do. The Old Firm games. The Old Firm games that you win, you're delighted, and the ones you lose, you're under your bed for a couple of days to hide and get away from everything.
Bottle of vodka.
Radio off, TV off, you don't want to listen to anything and hope that it's going to die down. But that's the pressures that come with playing with a massive club.
Said about the Lyon goal, how did you find it playing in the Champions League?
Loved it, loved the music, loved the stadiums, the atmospheres. Ibrox was, the home games, Ibrox was bouncing. What a tremendous atmosphere it was. And playing in some of the big games like Lyon, Barcelona, home and away, just games like that, it's just unreal.
Did you always feel like you had a chance in those games? At home particularly?
Barcelona, a chance to kick the ball would have been no bad, and that ended up 0-0 in that game. But the games, I think you get into every game think you've got a chance, and it's how it starts and how it pans out is how your mentality shifts can come about. So I think you get into every game thinking that something could happen here positive.
How good was Walter Smith in those games at preparing you and making you believe that you had a chance of winning?
Great. I think he was all mind games. He wasn't a massive on tactics. I wouldn't say he was a massive tactician. We didn't do, in a modern day football player now, is, oh, let's do shape, we need to do shape, we're not doing enough shape. We didn't do any shape. If anything, we would do shape before an Old Firm game or a Champions League game, and it would be literally no more than 5 minutes. Yeah. But all the league games, never done any shape. It was just go and play, go and win the game. You know the expectations. And I think that's how football's changed a little bit as well, because you've got your modern day footballers watching Monday Night Football, Gary Neville.
With a notepad and the pen in it.
Yes, analysing all the games and where people should run. And young football players, modern day football players are saying, well, our manager should be doing that with us instead of just going out and playing with our freedom.
I saw the Rangers boys, this ever on the receiving end of Big Waters here, Brian?
No, but I've been sitting next to Kevin Thompson, who was, when we get put out the Champions League qualifying stages away to Kaunas.
Kaunas,
That was my head was kneeling between my knees in case I got eye contact with him, and he started in me. He went through Tomo that day, really went through him. Picked up a teapot and turned round and threw it off the wall, and it missed Jimmy Bell by about an inch. And I was petrified, absolutely petrified.
And did he have that fear factor then?
Day. Even in training, you just knew if you get a stare. Or if you'd got training, his backroom staff would go take the warm-up and stuff. Everybody would be joking about it. And then as soon as he came out, everyone's like, oh no, the manager's here, we need to get our heads down. And that was the presence he had. And when he walked into a dressing room, everybody just shut up and looked at him right away. So there was a bit of a fear factor there, but he only unloaded maybe once or twice, really. Right. But I was never, thankfully, in the end of one of them.
Yeah, you reached the FA Cup final at the end of that season. Talk us through the run in the game itself.
We're on the Champions League, and then Sporting Lisbon away. I was injured for a couple of the Europa games, and then Fiorentina was over there, Vinacho with a penalty, and then the build-up to the Cup final was brilliant, and I thought to make a day out with the family, so... ordered a big limo thing to take my dad and brothers and all the family down. They were going down like royalty, and apparently the M6 was chock-a-block with all Rangers fans and Manchester, obviously. Just the atmosphere is ridiculous. Mm. Ridiculous, even coming back to and back training the night before, just going past all the fans, and that is an experience that I'll never forget. And just we probably didn't deserve it on the day, but the experience we took, it was phenomenal.
Barry Ferguson felt like the team never done itself justice in that final. Would you agree with that?
Aye, I would. I don't know what it was, but when you look at the team we do, the squad we had, I think we just underperformed on the night. But when you look at the players they had as well, they had a tremendous squad. So probably squad wise they had the better squad, but we'd at that time had momentum and team spirit, and just a wee bit disappointed we didn't do a wee bit better.